This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Nancy Benson. This week, dementia reimagined.
Suppose you had dementia, because I think it's a pretty likely outcome for a lot of us. What would happiness in that circumstance look like?
A different way of looking at dementia when Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm Reed Pence, the producer and host of Radio Health Journal. If you like listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics, from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
Teenagers are impulsive. They are unable to weigh risks and consequences as well as adults can. And they're uniquely pliable. They can grow, they can change, they can mature.
Is it ethical to sentence a teen to life in prison without parole? Then.
There are so many things that are present for you if you slow down, take your time, ask questions, say thank you.
The upside to traveling more consciously. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Radio Health Journal and Viewpoints on your favorite radio station. And subscribe and listen anytime on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Radio Health Journal.
Old age is a fact of life, one that's experienced with a variety of attitudes. If we're lucky and remain in relatively good health, many of us will reach well past retirement age. But statistics show that at least one-third to as many as one-half of people who reach age 85 will end up with dementia. That's a sobering reality that many people just don't want to face.
I was very troubled by the reaction to dementia. In my research for the book, I came across quite a few people who I would interview, either caregivers or experts or even just regular people in the world. And I would ask a lot of them, so what would you do if you learned you had dementia? What kind of care would you want? And quite a surprising number of them said, oh, I would kill myself. And I really hate the idea of millions of millions of people thinking, well, that's it for me. I'm useless. There's nothing to do about this. I hate this condition. I hate everything about it. Best idea is for me to kill myself. I mean, just imagine if everybody who had cancer said that. It's a horrifying thought, and this is millions of people.
That's Dr. Tia Powell, professor of psychiatry and bioethics at Albert Einstein College of Medicine and author of Dementia Reimagined, Building a Life of Joy and Dignity from Beginning to End.
I really feel we can do better, and that is why I do think this thought experiment of thinking, suppose you had dementia, and suppose, because I think it's a pretty likely outcome for a lot of us, what would happiness in that circumstance look like? And sometimes when I say this, people look at me like I have really lost it, and they will say, do you know what dementia is? Have you ever seen dementia?
For Powell, the answer is yes. And for her, dementia is personal.
Unfortunately, dementia is common in my family, as it is common in many, many families around the country. My mother had dementia, and her mother also had dementia. So because dementia runs in families, that certainly got my attention and got me to thinking about dementia, because frankly, I'm at risk for it. It's a big public health problem to think about anyway, but it's one that is in a particular fashion aimed right at me.
Dementia is actually an umbrella term for many different types of disorders causing a decline in mental abilities. There's Alzheimer's, Lewy body disease, which Robin Williams had, dementia that comes with Parkinson's disease and with AIDS, as well as many other forms. But despite that, mention the term to just about anyone, and all they can picture is one scenario.
A lot of people, and including a lot of doctors, I find, they picture somebody at the very end stage. They picture somebody who's bedbound, who's mute, who's incontinent, who can't feed herself. They really picture the last few months, the dying end stage of what is typically a very long disease. Dementia can go on for 10, 12, even 15 years. The vast majority of people with dementia don't look like that end stage person that we're picturing. They are up and about. They're in your grocery store. They're at your church service. They're at your family birthday party. So we need to actually think, well, what does that person need? By numbers, those are the vast majority of people with dementia. And we haven't really focused on How do we support that person? Because that's who's in our community. And we could do a lot more to help that person. So part of what I'd like to do is have people adjust their mental image of who's a person with dementia.
Given that she most likely faces dementia herself, Powell approaches the prospect with an upbeat attitude and a plan. She hopes others will as well.
I am really talking to you about changing your mind, changing your attitude toward it, thinking about what do you have today that brings you joy that you might be able to pack and bring along with you into the future, a future in which you might have dementia. Are there things that you might be able still to do? And people focus, you know, rightly enough, on things they won't be able to do. And okay, there are going to be some things that you won't be able to do. But what could you do? What could you bring with you? Or what could you acquire now? Or some skills, some things you could work on that might actually age well, that might be able to come with you into a time where your cognition is not exactly the way it is today.
Paula made a list of activities that currently bring her joy and thought about how she could still participate in them when her faculties start to fail. She thinks of it as her own personal time capsule, something that's different for everyone. For example, she recently dug a trench in her backyard and planted asparagus. She says it's an exercise in optimism because asparagus takes 3 years to cultivate before it can be harvested.
So it's about being happy about the future and thinking that the future is worth investing in. So I can do that now. I can dig a trench. You know, it's hard for me, actually. I'm like, it was a really rocky trench, and I had to really work at it. That's what I can do now. 10 years from now, I'm not sure I can do that. But I would still love to be around plants and gardens, and I've always loved that. So if I can walk, maybe with a walker, or maybe somebody can help me get there, if I can go sit in a garden and kind of look at the plants and see which ones the birds like, that would be great. I would love that. And if it's a garden that I helped build and help put together, so it's really pleasing to me, I bet you that will still feel like home.
There's no cure for dementia and no preventive treatment either. Doctors often prescribe high levels of sedatives to dementia patients, and that troubles Powell. She says music is as effective and a lot safer, so she has her personal playlist ready to go.
Music really is magical. Among other things, it is preserved in your brain a lot longer than a lot of other things. And fascinatingly, some people can still sing lyrics even when they can't really speak very much anymore. So stay with music.
Now, all of this makes sense. But Powell says people look at her like she's crazy when she invites them to imagine what would make them happy, even with dementia.
Dementia's really scary. And because it's so scary, we've gone about thinking about what to do about it in a kind of not very effective way. We focused on, well, we got to get rid of it. Well, nobody wants it. We're going to cure it. And great, people should still keep trying to cure it. That's fabulous. That might be great for my kids or their kids. But it's very unlikely that a real cure or significant preventive medications are going to be available in time to help the baby boomer generation, of which I'm a member. I know a lot of people will say, oh, this is a bunch of malarkey. Nobody's going to be happy about dementia. And I'm not saying you should be happy about it. I get that. I really am familiar with it. But I just would like to invite people to just try this on for size for a minute. Is there any way that you could think of that there's something that might make you happier with dementia? And could you maybe offer that to somebody you know who's worried about dementia or who maybe has it now?
You can learn more about a positive, creative approach to living with dementia in Tia Powell's book, Dementia Reimagined, available now. You can learn more about all our guests by visiting our website at radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer-producer this week is Polly Hansen, studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
With warm weather and more hours of daylight, enjoying meals outside is a simple pleasure. Keeping staples on hand from which to assemble snacks and meals can reduce extra shopping trips, according to registered dietitian Courtney Romano, health advisor for the California Table Grape Commission.
Healthy eating is always easier with foods that are convenient and able to work in multiple ways. Grapes from California are a great example of a fresh staple. They serve as both a healthy snack or simple side dish for any family meal, as well as a versatile ingredient. Add grapes to summer salads, grill some chicken and grape skewers, use grapes in frozen fruit pops, and more.
Grapes from California are a natural source of antioxidants and other polyphenols, which research suggests contribute to heart health. For 300 ways to use this healthy fruit, visit grapesfromcalifornia.com.
Cardiovascular or CV disease is the number one killer of adults in the U.S., and millions of people trying to reduce their risk of a heart attack or stroke may unknowingly be taking medications that are not proven, nor FDA approved to reduce cardiovascular risk. Let's hear from cardiologist Dr. John Osborne.
Many people are unaware that after a failed outcome study, the FDA revoked the approval of fenofibrates when added to statins, as the risk outweighed the benefits to heart health. It's important to remember that statins, along with diet and exercise, can lower cardiovascular risk by about 25 to 35%. But persistent cardiovascular risk, which can lead to a life-threatening event, may remain. I would tell anyone still being prescribed fenofibrates, such as Tricor and Trilipix, with a statin, to talk to their doctor about FDA-approved therapies for cardiovascular risk reduction.
To learn more and get clear on the facts, visit itscleartomenow.com. Again, that's itscleartomenow.com.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Radio Health Journal is a production of MediaTrax Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at RadioHealthJournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
In the last 5 years, lung cancer has had more new therapies and drugs than the last 5 decades.
Overdue hope against lung cancer.
Then a nationwide study shows stark equity gaps across American children.
What we uncovered is very startling. There are incredible equity gaps for children in every state in our nation.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.